Corinthians chapter 4, we read in this whole series our basic text of 2 Corinthians 4 and Hebrews 11. Let's look at the Word of God. See, the Holy Spirit can move any way He wants to, and we just flow along with Him. Most of you will sense that when the Holy Spirit comes in, there's a gentleness that comes. That is why when we sing the song, "Come in your own gentle way," there's a gentleness that comes that demands worship. That demands worship. And that's when we worship Him and God will manifest Himself some more. And it's not true with us yet. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you please. Verse 16, 17 and 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It talks about looking and seeing things with our imagination, seeing the things in the spirit world. And we cannot change our natural world until we change the spirit world, the spirit realm. Because God makes all the things of the physical by the pattern and the blueprint of those things which He has seen and conceived spiritually. The things which are seen are made of things which are not seen. There are two kinds of things. Things that are seen and things which are not seen. And those that are not seen are invisible. They are not tangible to our five senses. But this is the realm that controls the physical world around us. Turn also to Hebrews chapter 11. The book of Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In other words, they are made of things which are invisible. That lies in the spirit realm. And there is a part of our being that relates between the physical and the spirit realm. There is a part within us. It's a part called the imagination. It relates both to the physical and the spiritual realm. And it's that part of us that God has made us to be. See, God has made Adam and all of us to be both creatures that function in the physical and function in the spiritual. Angels function in the spiritual. Animals function in the physical. But God has made man, Homo sapiens, to function in both the spiritual and the physical world. That is our uniqueness that God has made mankind. And the spiritual controls the natural. The things which are not seen made the things which are seen. We have talked about the area of our imagination,
how that there are two parts, the dialogismos, which is a reasoning part of us, of our soul, and there's another part of our soul called the dianoia, which is the imagination, the creativity part of our soul, that needs to be brought in line with the Word of God. Now that is the part of the soul that Satan also attacks. See, when Satan attacks, he not only sends thoughts, he sends false imagination. He sends false images into our dianoia, into the soul part of us, so that we could be deceived and flow with what he wants us to do instead of what God wants us to do. Satan knows that if he could control our imagination, he can control our decisions and our life. So Satan actually targets his attacks and his temptations at the part of us called the imagination. All of his attacks, all of the fiery darts that the Bible says that he constantly throws at us, are targeted at our dianoia, at the part of us that will respond and create images. Satan knows that if he could get our imagination, he has got us. If he could keep our imagination in bondage to him, and he could put a blueprint into us of his work of destruction, we will produce the same. So the fight, the cosmic fight, the cosmic battle over the souls of men are in the realm of the imagination, where Satan will seek all he can to reprogram us to destruction. But God is seeking to renew our minds, to renew our hearts, so that we could be programmed to function the way he wants us to function. It all started in the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. And in this passage here is the first temptation, the first attack of Satan. He used the same techniques that he's still using today. And he attacked at the dianoia, the same part that God wants to implant his word, that programs us unto holiness. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 onwards. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" He used words. Say, did God say, you shall not eat of the fruit of the garden? And Eve knew God's word to a certain extent. Eve replied, the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." She added to God's word. God only said you shall not eat. And the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Up to verse 5, Eve was still not defeated. Up to Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, Eve was not defeated yet. She was still fighting the fight of faith with the Word of God. She quoted the word of God, at least to a certain extent, although she added a little bit about the touching part. She quoted the word. There was a battle going on. And the word was being used. The devil used his words. Eve used God's word. The battle was on. Up to verse 5, there was no defeat yet. But it's verse 6 that gave the problem. Look very carefully at verse 6. It's verse 6 that gave the problem. The woman saw. The woman saw. Up to verse 5, she was still alright. But when the devil, through the serpent, could begin to influence and affect her imagination, the battleground begins to be lost. Eve was looking at the fruit. There was an image transferred from the outside to the inside. Not the image of God. When she saw that fruit, she should have an image. God said, don't touch. Inside her, she should see a ring of fire or something that says, don't touch. Or sign that says, don't eat. Not don't touch. Don't eat. But when the serpent began talking to her, a different image was being implanted in her imagination. Her imagination was being polluted and reprogrammed. When she saw the fruit, she saw something else. The Bible says in verse 6, the woman saw that the fruit was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes. A second emphasis on the image. See how much the Bible emphasized the image that was being implanted in the mind of Eve. And a tree desirable to make one wise. And that part came from the devil. The devil said, this fruit will make you wise. The devil said that this is what it will do. She began to receive the words, and the words began to form an image and an imagination and a stronghold within her. She is heading for defeat. That's how the devil attacks people today. He comes to you not directly. He does not come and just say, would you like to sin? Your first answer will be no. If you are truly born again. If he came to you and he says, would you like to sin? Your first answer will be no. But he doesn't come that way. He comes and he paints out what he wants you to do. And he makes you see it. When you see it, you want it, you desire it, he has got you. See his sneaky trick. See, the devil knows how to use our imagination against us. He knows how to turn it for our defeat. So we must guard our mind. In fact, the Bible passage in 1 Peter that says, gird up the loins of your mind. That word came from the word dianoia. Gird up the imaginations of your mind. How do you gird up the loins of your mind? I didn't know my mind has loins to gird up. You didn't know it's in the Bible? We all better turn to 1 Peter. Some of you are looking at me and saying, is there such a scripture? There is. 1 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind.
Say, I did not, my mind has loins.
That refers to your dianoia. It's the same word, dianoia. The imagination part of you needs to be girded up. Otherwise, your imagination will be filled with the wrong thoughts, with the wrong imagination, with the wrong images. Gird up means to cover up. Cover up all these things. Cover up your imagination against the attacks of the enemy. Do not receive his images. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Bible exhorts us to gird up our minds looking unto the revelation of Jesus Christ. Your mind is a part of you that Satan seeks to defeat. If Satan can get your imagination, he has got you. Today, some of our problems that we go through as a Christian is because deep in our past, Satan, through imperfect circumstances that we have been through in our life, has used all of them to program our mind for defeat. Some of us got a very poor self-image. Some of us have an image of failure. Some of us have an image of defeat. Some of us have an image of rejection that Satan has programmed into us. And today, when you're born again, you seek to live the life of God. You hear the word of God. You know that you should walk by faith and not by sight. You know that you're an overcomer, but yet you're being overcome. You know that you're to be healed, and yet you're sick. You know that you're in prosperity, but yet you're in poverty. You know that you're to be successful, but you're a failure. As long as Satan has an image and a stronghold in your imagination, you cannot be free physically in your actions until you free your imagination from that bondage. Until you remove that wrong imagination and image from your heart. Complete it away. This is not the first time Satan used that in Genesis. He used that several other times. He even used this to defeat man of God. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, we read a story of King David at the apex of his ministry, at the apex of his glory and kingdom that God has bestowed upon him. Everything was going well. He has been crowned king of Judah and Israel. He has conquered Jerusalem. Everything was going on. The wars were being won. And everything was ease and smooth. And King David had nothing to do. You know, he should have been meditating on the word. Any free time you have, you should be meditating on the word. So King David had nothing to do. And everyone went to war, but he stayed at home, getting a bit lazy. God don't bless lazy Christians. And he was walking about in the balcony of his house. And as he was walking about, his house was probably higher than the neighbor's house, which happened to be Uriah the Hittite. And Uriah the Hittite was busy at work, fighting the battle for David. Left his wife called Bathsheba at home. And as the name goes, Bathsheba was bathing. He was walking in his balcony. And his house was higher than hers. And he looked over and he got a wrong imagination. He came, he saw, and he fell. He didn't conquer.
Satan seeks to defeat even men of God through the imagination.
That is why 1 Peter 1:13 says, gird up. Gird up, strengthen. Hold fast. Watch over your dianoia, the loins of your mind.
Isn't it interesting that the Bible refers to the loins of your mind, the dianoia?
We all know that that is where human reproduction comes forth from, the loins, which are covered. And then it talks about the loins of your mind, because that is the part of your mind, the imagination, where the spiritual reproduction is happening. The imagination, the part that reproduces in the physical realm, needs to be guarded and watched over.
If he could try to defeat you, a man of God like David, and other people, all of us, great and small, how long you're Christian, young and old in the Lord, you have to constantly guard your imagination against the enemy's infiltration. If he cannot infiltrate your imagination, he cannot infiltrate your life. If you give him your imagination, you're sowing defeat. It's a guaranteed defeat.
There's one other guy in the book of Joshua that I'd like you to turn to. The book of Joshua, they had a glorious victory over Jericho. And after that, they had a terrible defeat at Ai. And so in Joshua chapter 7, they knew something was wrong. And they checked and they found that one of them, one of the Israelites, when he entered into the land of Canaan, and they went and conquered Jericho, Achan had stolen some things. God said, all the gold and silver in this first city is mine. It's called a first fruit. They had the gold and silver for the next city, but the first city, God said, is mine. And when Achan went forth, this is what Achan confessed in chapter 7, verse 20 of Joshua. Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. Notice, I have done. His actions followed his imagination. He said, this is what I have done. Then he says what he conceived in verse 20, 21. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment. See, Satan was appealing to his imagination. He even described a beautiful Babylonian garment. 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels. I coveted them and took them. Listen very carefully. Which came first? The action or the scene? Shout it out. Say the scene came first. It is the imagination that is defeated first before the action is defeated. And if you are believing God for something in your life, and if your imagination is already defeated, don't try, you will be defeated. You know those men of God that can conquer, like Joshua and Caleb? They conquered because they were victorious in their imagination. Look at them in the book of Numbers. Could you please turn with me to the book of Numbers? In chapter 13, they send the spies into the land. They send the spies, 12 spies into the land of Canaan. And when they came back, this is what the people reported. Verse 32 and 33. Chapter 13 of the book of Numbers, verse 32 and 33. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land, which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw," notice, we saw, it was working in their imagination. Satan was defeating their imagination. They saw. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. In our own imagination, we were grasshoppers. You know what he meant by in our own sight? Inside us, we began seeing that we are just little grasshoppers, and the sons of Anak would just come and pum on us, and we will be finished. And so we were in their sight. They even claim that the children of Anak also saw them as grasshoppers. And the most marvelous thing is that they haven't even tried. They haven't even tested whether they could win it. You know, some people are defeated even before they try. They haven't even lifted their sword. They haven't even organized a battle. And they have already given up. At least, praise God for those who try, who do their best. But these fellows, 10 stooges, they haven't even tried. They haven't even lifted a sword. And they say, we are like grasshoppers. Their imagination was already defeated. They were already finished. When you fight the fight of faith, if you do not win in the imagination, you will never win in your actions. The imagination comes first, and then the action. Say, the imagination comes first, then the actions. And later on, Moses said, God said, because you're all disobedient, 40 years in the wilderness, for every day that they were spying, 40 days, every day they shall pay a year in the wilderness. And then all the Israelites were very sad. They said, no, never mind, let's go and try now. After God said, don't go, now they want to go. Hero. Next day, zero. So they tried. The next few chapters tells us they went out, they fought, and they were defeated. They received what they saw. They saw that they were defeated, they received the defeat. But not all people of God are that way, thank God. Not all the people of God are that way, and God never intended for His people to be defeated in that manner. Caleb and Joshua also went. They saw the same thing. They saw the same giants. But they never saw that they were grasshoppers. Here is what they say in Numbers chapter 13. They said in verse 30. Verse 30. Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession." At once, he said, "Let's go. We are well able." See what they saw? They saw they were able. They say, "We can do it. We can do it. We are able to do it. We are able to overcome." They have it in their imagination. Where did they receive it? God says it. That settles it. They got it from the Word. How did they get such a strong imagination to conquer? They got it from God. God said, "I have given it to you, it is yours." They say, "God says it, that settles it." And they got it in their imagination. If God says I can do it, I can do it. I will see that I can do it. They receive the impartation in their imagination through the spoken word. God says, "This is your land." Chapter 14, verse 6. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes at all the other congregation. And they said, verse 7 and 8, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel. Do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land." Now notice what they say. "For they are our bread." You know what they saw? They looked at the sons of Anak and said, "Roti canai." Or naan. When they saw the Anakim, they saw them as loaves of bread walking about. You know how easy it is to defeat a loaf of bread? Just crush it with one hand. They saw a different thing than the 10 spies. Says, "They are bread for us. They are just for dinner. Their protection has departed from them." Now, who says their protection has departed from them? Physically, it has not happened yet. How did they know that their protection has departed from them? Because God says it. God says it. They receive it from the Word. They did not go by the things which are seen. They went by the things which are not seen, which is the spoken Word of God. They didn't walk by sight. They walked by faith. And faith has spiritual eyes. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, "That faith is the substance of things hoped for, The evidence of things not seen. Do you know it's an evidence? Evidence is something you see. Except that faith is an evidence in a spirit realm. That you see in the spirit realm. Faith has spiritual eyes. They say their protection is God. Then they say, the Lord is with us. As they were walking in the land, they didn't just see the Anakim. They saw themselves and they saw God with them. Do you know God is taller than the Anakim? The other 10 spies saw the Anakim and they compared themselves to the Anakim and they said, we are smaller than them. But Caleb and Joshua saw the same Anakim. They saw themselves, but they saw God over the Anakim. And they said they are just peanuts, bread for us. Let us go. He says, do not fear. These are the same people, Joshua and Caleb, who went in to conquer the land of Canaan. God will not be able to use you to conquer unless you have the right imagination. If you are defeated in your imagination, you have already lost the battle. If you are exercising God, exercising faith in God, in some endeavor, in some fight of faith, look into the depths of your heart and see what is written on the imagination. Because what is written will foretell to you the future of your program. Whether it's going to succeed or fail. Oh, how important it is to have our imaginations filled with the Word. Say the imagination comes first and then the actions. Whatever area of your life, whether you are having problems in your family, problems in whatever area, what does your imagination show? If it shows something that is not in line with the Word, change it, rewrite and reprogram it. Unless you take time to transform your imagination, you will be defeated. The time that you invest in imagination, reprogramming the Word of God in the imagination, is an important time that must not be taken lightly. Don't despise the work done in your imagination. So we're going to show how we can reprogram our imagination. We talk about the what's, we want to talk about the how. And let me show you how God does it to reprogram people's imagination so that they could rise up above the level that they are living and walk on the level that God wants them to walk. The level of victory. You know, God is never defeated. God is never down. God is always victorious. That's how He wants all His children to be. So if you have your Bible, get ready to reprogram our imagination. Turn to Genesis chapter 13. Some truths that we want to bring forth. In the life of Abraham, God wants to do a mighty work through Abraham. But what God can do through him will depend on what his thought life is like. See, you limit God by your thought life and your imagination. Before God can do a mighty work in your life, God has to change your thought life and your imagination. So God wants to use Abraham. At that time his name was Abram. So let's call him Abram. God wants to use Abram, a cousin of Abraham Wilson. God wants to use Abram. Abram had seen defeat. Abram has seen his childlessness. Abraham has been through the hard things of life. Now God says you're going to receive a son. You're going to be blessed. You will have many, many descendants. And do you know while God was saying all these things, he had zero descendants? You know, sometimes the things of God are not comprehensible to our carnal thinking. Here he is with Sarah. They are now quite old. He started his journey from 70 years old. Some of you thought he started late. Think about Abraham. You thought he started late. He started at 70 plus. And he started his journey out into the land that God called him. He had no children. If he went by what he see and the things which are seen, he can only see defeat, 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 defeat. But God spoke of things which are not seen. God spoke of the things in the spirit world. God saw the children while Abraham didn't see it. God saw what Abraham didn't see. So God has an important task. The Holy Spirit has an important work to do. The Holy Spirit has to somehow put God's picture into Abraham's mind and imagination. So God is going to do it. The Holy Spirit is going to figure a way out to put and write the imagination in Abraham's imagination. Square one. That is where all of us start. So God says in Genesis chapter 13. Have you found it by now? Genesis chapter 13. God says in verse 14. The Lord said to Abraham, after Lot has separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. God says, look northward, southward, eastward, and westward. God says, look. What is God trying to get into him? The imagination. God's Holy Spirit was working on Abraham's imagination. Because before the action comes, what must come? Imagination. Say the imagination comes first, then the actions. So God had to reprogram and correct the imagination of Abraham. God made him see. Now don't think God was just wasting his time. Don't think that God was just giving him a sightseeing tour for nothing. God was seeking to write in his imagination to see the land that is his. And Abraham did it. And then God says in verse 15, all the land which you, what's that word? Shout it out. Shout it out. Shout it again. Shout it loud. All the land which you see,
I give to you. What he saw will be what he gets. And he must see. God says, I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. God says, Abram, I give you this land that you see. I want you to walk in that land, feel that land, see it, smell it as yours. God took many years to write the imagination of Abraham. Many years. When he was about 99, God changed his name. When he was about 70 plus, God had to write his imagination. See, the imagination was very important to God. He spent about 15 to 20 years changing Abraham's imagination before he changed his name. See, he didn't change his name until he changed his imagination. He has to change his imagination before he changed his name. Otherwise, the confession has no power. See, some people try to confess. Say, I confess, I possess. But inside, they don't see it yet. And it doesn't work. They come and say, I confess 3 times and it never worked. No wonder it never worked. If you really believe and receive it in your imagination, you will confess it until it comes to pass. And you won't even say it doesn't work. Because you have it written inside. God sought to write it down. God said, the dust, like the dust, your descendants shall be. So the first point that God rewrites Abraham's imagination is using something familiar with him. If you live in a hot climate and a place that has some deserts, some oases, you would probably encounter dust all the time. More than the average housewife. Could you imagine Sarah trying to keep housekeeping in a tent? Some of you ladies should say, praise God that you got a place, or a house, or a roof over your head. Imagine Sarah trying to sweep the floor. And every time she's cleaned everything, Abraham said, let's go. I said, what? I've just finished cleaning the tent. Here we go again to another new place. And I have to again clean the place. Every day she dealt with dust, 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 dust. And Sarah said, I hate dust. I mean, any ladies love dust? You know, it gives you a lot of work. And Sarah encountered dust all the time. Abraham would have to be used to dust. Anybody gone camping before? Camping, you sleep in a tent? Oh yes. You know what it's like to put a tent and sleep there? The ants are your bedmates. The dust and the insects, and it's just that way. Every day you encounter dust. God used something familiar from his daily life. If you want to rewrite your imagination, you have to use something familiar to you. Don't use something that you don't relate to.
See, to reprogram and familiar as a sort of identification of what God is going to do. Something familiar to you. It may not be thus in your life, but I remember Clark Taylor sharing this about 2 years ago in the pastor's conference. He says that before he started preaching, he had a desire and a call of God in his life. He knew God called him to be a preacher, and a preacher he wants to be. But he was a cattleman. He's rough and tough. He's a cattleman. He takes care of the cattle and the cows. And he said, God started working on his imagination. I heard that Kenneth Hagin started preaching to the cabbage heads. But Clark Taylor started preaching to the cows. Practiced his sermon and some of them moved to sleep. But every time he had a call of God, every time he see the cow, he knew God was calling his life. He see the cows as people. And he see them as people. Oh yes, all these people. He keeps seeing the cows as people. He said nowadays sometimes you see people as cows. But the fact of it is that God started using, today His church is growing and God is building His ministry because He has it written in His imagination. See, you have to use something familiar with you. Something you handle and contact every day. If you're believing God for your family, then I would assure you, you have to take some photograph or something where you and your wife are together and can't do this. Any ladies here? James, could you come here? You must take a photograph of you and your wife or somewhere from your past, those times you're happy together. You know, don't take those photographs when you were having, you know, don't take all those photographs, but you should take those photographs when you were green to them, please. Thank you. You must have that picture inside you. Put it, paste it on your mirror, paste it in your car, paste it in your toilets, paste it in your library, paste it on your table, paste it everywhere, everywhere you see your wife or your husband grinning at you. Like the Cheshire cat. And everywhere you see them grinning. And then every time you go home, you're grinning. Even your wife wants to tell you something, but they look at your grinning teeth, she also started grinning. You have to write something that you contact daily in your daily imagination. When I see souls, sometimes I go for a walk, I see the stones that are there, like human beings. I say, these are the human beings. These are the souls, oh Lord. Give them to me, give them to me. I claim that. You have to use something that you contact every day that you can see and transform. The day that God told Abraham, Abraham, your descendants are like the dust. Every time dust is in his tent, he sees the dust as children. Oh, he sees Sarah sweeping all the children there. Oh, he sees them. He says, hi, hi Michael, hi. Hi, Sarah. Hi, Akau. Hi, Ramasamy. Hi, hi. And Sarah say, Abraham, what are you doing? Oh, I'm talking to my children. Hi, so many of them. Hi. Say, Abraham. Abraham. Yeah, hello. You know, Sarah, look, this is Ramasamy here. You know, he's going to be later in TOG. He said, these are all my children. Millions and millions and millions of my children. If you were there, you would have thought Abraham has gone cuckoo. But he started seeing them, something from his daily life. What do you have that you can use? Use it. It has to, number one, be something familiar in your life. That you handle it every day. That you could use it as a positive reminder to remind and implant into your imagination that God is going to do this for you. What reminders do you have? How do you rewrite your imagination? Get something familiar in your life. If you need healing and you have been healthy before and you used to play football, I mean, there you were, you know, with the football under you and you were standing like a hero. But now you are lying in bed like a zero. Sick, bony, dehydrated, pale, almost going to die, and you could not see yourself healthy, get one of those photographs, see yourself there with all your muscles every day and say, that's the way I am, Lord. Thank you, by His stripes I'm healed. There I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm by His stripes I'm healed. As something that you could identify with today, they have invented photography. Make use of modern inventions for all the things of the Word of God. Unless you could see an image of yourself healthy, you will never be healthy. Unless you could see an image of yourself healed, you cannot see yourself healed. Take a photograph through the cross. The cross is the camera. Somebody says the cross is a camera, the camera or the cross. You are sick, but you take your camera of the cross and photograph yourself where you say by His stripes you're healed, a different picture comes out of you healed. Do you know when God sees you, you are healed? God considers you healed? Get something, number one, something familiar in your life that you could contact and deal with. And the second thing that you can see when God says that the dust shall be your descendants is that it is something that is in line with the Word. God has said and God has promised. You cannot use your imagination against your conscience. Example, if the Bible says thou shalt not steal, you cannot imagine yourself robbing a bank and try to succeed. Because your imagination will not flow against your conscience. Your conscience and your imagination will flow together. So you must discern what God is saying about your life. Now definitely you know healing is in His Word. See, there are some things you know from the Word that belong to you. So it must flow with your conscience. So it cannot flow against your conscience. For example, if you are already married and then your imagination starts playing adultery, then you know it's against the conscience, against the written Word. Forsake it. Don't try to do something that is against the moral codes of God's Word, that is against the written Word. It will not work. But it will work if your imagination flows along with what God says in your life. See, God did tell Abraham he shall have many descendants. I don't know about you, but I'm not believing God for a million physical children. Are you? Some of you are. So quiet. But I'm believing God for spiritual children. Example, if God did not ask you to be a prophet, don't imagine yourself as a prophet because it will not work. See, the will of God still comes in. You must discern what God is saying in your life. And when you discern what God has said in your life, then you apply these principles and it will work for you. Have it written in your imagination. So number two, it has to be something that God has spoken to your life, you personally. What God wants you to do, and all of you, God has spoken to you. God has put His desires in your heart. God has put His plans in your mind. God has given some of you dreams, some of you visions, so that you could begin to see what He wants you to do. And you must take it and hold it in your mind. Every time I go to a stadium, I will sit there and see all the people there worshiping as a church. Because that's the imagination that I'm working on. Writing it. It's important that it must be something familiar, something that God said. And the third area here, thus is what he see in the daytime. God says in Genesis chapter 13. Genesis 13. I will make your descendants as the dust, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Verse 17. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. So Abraham, thirdly, was to walk in the land and experience it. Begins to feel it. Begins to smell the smell of the land. He begins to bring it into his experiences. This is what I call embracing the vision. Embracing the vision that God has for your life. When you embrace, you hold it close within you, you begin to have feelings over them. So Abraham would walk through the length and through the breadth, and he began to see all his children here and there, as the dust, he sees them all over. T.R. Osborne used to share how he always had that vision of how he and Daisy Osborne would walk through the midst of a multitude of people, and they're all stretching out for healing. See, God works in the imagination. The language of the Holy Spirit is visions and dreams. The realm of the imagination. Fourthly, in Genesis chapter 15, God, in verse 5, he brought him, that is Abraham, outside and said, chapter 15 verse 5, look now toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. God added new pictures that are familiar to him. See, don't limit yourself by just one picture. God, in the daytime, he had the dust. In the nighttime, he had the stars. And stars are what you see every day if you live in a tent. You just walk out of your tent, you see stars in the sky around you. So God deals in his life, number four, daily, night and day, day and night. You want your imagination to be rewritten, you have to do it day and night, day and night. Now you understand why God says that you shall meditate on my word day and night. Day and night. In fact, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8 says that the word of God shall be on your mouth when you walk by the way, when you sit down by the way, when you lie down by the way, the word shall be before your eyes. God expects his word to start working and taking place in our imagination. Number four, you have to do it night and day, daily. Rewrite your imagination. What did God say that he was supposed to do in this world, in this life? What is God calling you to do? What is God speaking to you about your family? What is God speaking to you about your finances and your business? What is God speaking to you about your ministry? You must hold it fast day and night. When you wake up in the morning, when you sleep at night, in the daytime, every day you have it before you. You have it before you. You pull it out of your pocket. You have a look at what God says. Sometimes you can write it out as words and meditate over them. And they write in your imagination over and over again. Day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night. You have to have something familiar to you. See, our mind within us has to be reprogrammed by the Word of God. Let me illustrate here. Could Brother Benjamin, could you come out and come to this transparency, please? Thank you. Could we have the transparency on for him? Benjamin? Could we have the transparency on for him? And could we get somebody on this side, Brother Philip? Those on this side, have the transparency on for you. I think there's a pen there that you can have. Benjamin, you can have this fat pen. They have said that short and fat go together. Anyway. So, Brother Philip, have you got your pen there? Okay. There is an empty transparency. Could you take it and put it on the transparency? It's an empty one that I have left there. Yes. Now, I want both of you to draw a church. Just draw a church. Yes, yes. Whatever background you come from, you just draw a church. Draw a church. Listen very carefully. Draw a church. Quickly. Can't draw a church. Chris Ming could draw one. Draw a church. I give you 10 seconds. Draw a church. Make it dark, big strokes. Draw a church. Are you finished? Don't make it a very complicated church. Don't put the stained glass window in. I mean, just draw a church. Are you finished? Draw a church. He's not a bad artist. Benjamin, draw a church. Have you finished? Draw a church. Alright. Can you put it on a transparency where you can see your beautiful masterpiece? He is today Leonardo da Benjamin. Yes, Benjamin. Can we see your masterpiece? Here we are. That is a church. All right. Let's see. All right. Brother Philip's church. Alright, thank you. Now, there is Benjamin's church, Philip's church. Now, I know that that side cannot see this side. So, you all remember this picture? Could we just change the picture over? Here, somebody just change the picture over so that this side could see what Benjamin draw and this side could see what Philip draw. Yes? Just change it over. Thank you. The instruction was draw a church. That's all. Draw a church. Now have a look this side at Benjamin's church. I think it's just fit for Benjamin. Now you see here, Philip's church. What Philip has drawn is he draw a lot of people. Is that what you draw? Are those people or are those little mosses? Oh, people. Oh, the people are praising God. Alright? And Brother Benjamin, is that a hat? Okay. That is supposed to be a church building, is that right? Looks like a tall building with a cross on the top. That is Benjamin's church. Now understand here that when we say a church, all of you have different impressions and vision. Where do you get it? From your past, from your conversation, from your experiences. That's where you got it. All these will influence the picture you see. See how important it is to see the right picture. And today, in modern terms, when you use the word church, I'm glad that they each draw something different. The Holy Spirit must have somehow inspired them that way. But you can see that the same word church produced different pictures in two different individuals. Based on their understanding of number one, what I wanted, number two, what they feel a church signifies. Today, when we use the word church in English, we also refer to a building, which is what Benjamin drew. In the Bible, when they use the word church, they do not refer to a building, they refer to the people. That is why in the book of Romans 16 and in Corinthians, you find that Paul says, to the church in the house. You know, the building couldn't go into the house. See, in the Bible, when it says to the church in the New Testament had no buildings. If it was a building, they call it a building. Like the school or Tyrannus or synagogue, they would call it the building. But the word church in the New Testament does not mean a building, it means people. Now here is where we are illustrating that many times, because of what we have been fed in, what have we been programmed in by our experience, by our tradition, by the connotation of what the word means, we will produce different impressions when we see a singular word that God says. For example, when the Bible says that revival is coming forth, then many people see different things. Revival, some begin to see fire, some begin to see persecution. It depends on the background you come from, what conversation you have been following all the time, and the kind of thought pattern your life has been flowing. If you are someone who has grown up to realize that revival means persecution, you begin to see persecution. If you are someone who is growing up to realize that revival signifies fire, then you see fire. It depends on what you have inside you. It is not quite as easy to write in our imagination as we think. Because many times the Word of God says something, but we see something else. The Word of God says, this is the land that I've given you, land flowing in milk and honey, but we can see something else. It is not quite that easy to make sure that our imagination is in line with the Word. There has to be a cleaning process. We have to lay down our thoughts, our concepts, our ideas, our pre-conclusions that we have in order to receive fresh from God what God actually meant when He said something in His Word. And so when God was programming Abraham, do you know God had a difficult time with him? God kept telling him, descendant, descendant, descendant. You know what Abraham thought? Abraham kept thinking, even after Genesis 15, he kept thinking that it was through his servant. See, it takes a long time for God to get it through to him. Abraham thought that it was through, Abraham thought that it was going to be through his servant, and then later he has Ishmael. Ishmael came out through Hagar. And then when God started talking about descendants, Abraham told God and said, God, bless Ishmael. Bless him abundantly like the rain. And God said, no, not Ishmael. I will give you your own one. You see, God took a long time to convince him that Abraham, even though the things that are seen say no, 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 the things which are not seen say yes, yes, yes. God was trying to get through to Abraham that he will have a descendants, multitude of descendants of his own seed, flesh and blood. And when God could get through to him that it's not going to be Ishmael, it's going to be one that is to Sarah, his own seed, he began to see a clear picture. And the day he began to see a clear picture, the day that Abraham began to see a clear picture, God told Abraham, change your name. See, it's time. God was saying, it's time to speak to the mountain. See, there's a time and a purpose for all things. Don't just go and jump and try to speak to the mountain and say, move. The Bible says in Mark 11:23-24, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, it shall be done. But it also emphasized, and shall not doubt. Where? In your heart. And your heart is where your imagination is. As long as your imagination is waving, one day this, one day that, one day this, one day that, your name is wishy and washy. You will never change the circumstances. You will never defeat the enemy. You will never conquer and overcome. And that's what happened. Many people, they hear these kind of messages, they start practicing it, but the next day, the next week, they reject it, they begin to see the old things again. And then they change again. They come to church and they change, and they repent and they see a new thing again. They do not hold fast to what God says. We must hold fast to what God says. Get a clear picture. In fact, what should be happening every day is that the picture gets clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer. You begin to see more specific details. There was a time when Abraham in Romans chapter 4, the Bible tells us there was a time when he stopped doubting. There was a time when he began to see what God sees. Do you know that what God sees is one thing? What we see down here is another? Many times? God sees something while we see another thing. And until we see what God sees, He will not be able to work what He wants in our life. If 10% of your life is in line with what God sees, God can work only 10% in your life. And God sees all of you with His supernatural faith vision. He don't see you as defeated. He don't see you as failures. He don't see you the way you see yourself. And all this time, where the musicians are, please. All this time, we have the Spirit of God seeking to bring to our imagination what God sees. I mean, He has been doing that all the time. Think about it. Do you know why you cannot love people sometimes or find it hard? The Bible says you must love them. Because you look at them as they are. You know why Jesus can love us? Romans chapter 5 says, even when we were yet sinners, rotten sinners, He loved us. Because He saw what we can be. I'm giving you a little clue how you can love people. People who are unlovable. People who are despicable. People who are just habitually behaving in such a way that turns you off. When you look at them, you see all their rottenness. But when God sees them, He sees the beauty He can make them to be. See the difference? Now you know why God can love us. If He takes you as you are, we are finished. Thank God. He doesn't see you as you are. He sees you as He wants you to be. With all your weaknesses, with all your failures, I don't care how many times you have failed. I don't care how many times you have tried, or even if you have never tried. God never sees you the way you are. He sees you the way He wants you to be. And the day you can see your husband and wife eyeball to eyeball, and not see them as a husband and wife with all the weaknesses you know, but see them as the people God can make them to be, you will love them more. The way you could see your brothers and sisters, not with their weaknesses and their failures and their shortcomings and their sins, but if you could see them, even while they are hurting and causing hurt, if you could still see them with the eyes of God, the love of God will flow through you. And do you know that the only people, listen very carefully, the only people who can change another person is the one who can see good in the other one and bring it out. And they are the ones also who really love. And they are the ones also whom people would turn to and open their lives up. If you want your life to be able to transform other life, you must see the way God sees other people. And your life becomes an influence to direct that person in the way you know that person can be. That's how we bring up our children. We don't tell them all the rotten things. They may fail. They may make mistakes, but you always know as a parent what they can do. And you always tell them, I know you can do this. I know you can succeed in that. You always tell them and impart to them what you know they could be, not what they are. That's the way our Father is with us today. He sees your potential. And your soul is worth more to Him than the whole world. You have value. Stand on your feet, please. If you see your own image as an image unlovely, and you don't see yourself as something beautiful, something good, you are not seeing yourself as God sees you. Do you know, if Jesus Christ could take the time and trouble to come down all the way from heaven to this planet Earth to die on the cross for our sin, if you are the only one who were the sinner, He will still come and do that, because He loves you. You are precious. You are beautiful in His sight. The world may have told you you are ugly. The world may have told you that you are unpleasant. But God's word never said that of you. God's word said, you are the bride of Christ. You are the body of Jesus. He is the lily of the valley. You are joined to the lily of the valley. He is the fairest of 10,000. You are a part of His body, who is the fairest of 10,000. You are lovely in His sight. You are precious, so precious. Don't think that you cannot do anything for God. You can do something for God. God has something special for you. God looks at you and sees the preciousness, the potential of your soul. Give God your life as you are, and God will show you what He can do. God will, number one, first put the image in you, what He sees you as. Number two, you will begin acting out what He puts into you. So lift up your hands unto the Lord. And let the Spirit of God write the image in your heart and in your mind. A lovely image of His preciousness. What He can do in your life. Something beautiful. All the musicians come up. Yes. Something good. Oh, confusion. He understood. All I had to offer Him. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife. But He made something beautiful out of my life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Just remain where you are. Now all of you are not born again. You are precious to God. You are so precious to God. If you would only see what God sees of you. You are so precious. So precious to God. You are the only one in a world that needed help, He would have still come to you. God doesn't care what you have done. God doesn't care what kind of past you came from. God doesn't care how much you have failed. All He wants you to know is He loves you.
and He sees what you can be. If you will only let His love touch your life and receive in your spirit what He has for you, even right now, today. Just lift up your hands, all of you, right where you are. And will those who minister together with me come quickly to the front? These are all representatives of Jesus Christ. They've been anointed here in this church, and they're extensions of the ministry to you. It's Jesus Christ who's ministering to your heart and in your life. If you will close your eyes and concentrate on God, right now, while hands are laid on you, you will have the implantation of His love and image right in your spirit. Even right now. Close your eyes and see only Jesus. 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 Right where you are. You may proceed to minister. So you all just focus our attention upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.